I Hate the News is the weekly news bulletin from I Hate Politics podcast, a show about a human activity we love to hate. I'm Sunil Dasgupta. The week of June 4th, 2024. MCPS announces school-specific teacher cuts. A new grant seeks to bring back driver's ed to public schools in Maryland after 30 years. A plan to cut 1,200 trees to allow upgrading an old golf course in Rock Creek National Park sparks outrage, and much more. Stay with us.
I Hate Politics is brought to you by UMBC's Political Science Program. If your goal is to make a meaningful impact with a career in local, state, or federal government, discover what this degree can do for you. Learn more at shadygrove.umbc.edu.
Music for this episode comes from Rockville singer-songwriter Andrew Glore and his band Drew Pictures.
Now that it's summer, I can see the light.
I'll take a dirt road walk.
I'll play a honky-tonk.
Drink a natty ice.
Shoot the whiskey twice.
Finally get a tan, grilling all I can. Now it's summer, man.
I'm a country fan.
Montgomery County Public Schools will receive $30 million less than what it requested for the next school year. The gap is less than 1% of the total budget of over $3 billion, but it seems that the school board and district leadership have decided that the impact of the cuts be shared and felt in the heart of its mission, rather than the usual nip and tuck that dissipates political heat. Even before the Board of Education formally adopts the new budget June 11th, the school district has begun to execute a plan to increase class size across the board by one student, which they say will allow 100 to 150 teachers to be cut in order to meet the gap left by the county government. On June 3rd, affected schools received new staff allocation plans, and principals will now have to pick the staff members they want to let go by June 5th. Not all schools will see cuts. Brown Station Elementary School, for example, is not being cut. But Arcola Elementary School is slated to lose one teacher, even though both are Title I schools. It is possible that the cut at Arcola will be reversed. In some cases, teachers are being absorbed in new positions. Weller Road Elementary is losing a fourth grade teacher position who is likely to go into another grade. Northwood High School is likely to lose three teachers and half-time staff development position. Despite principals trying to absorb teachers, it does feel like the Hunger Games, with district leaders expected to send tribute to the Capitol. The Office of Human Resources and Development, the central office group managing the mess, itself lost three full-time positions. The school board has said that it will cut 47 central office positions and trim its discretionary contracts. The central office has been criticized both for bloat and understaffing. Earlier in March, the central office was reduced by about 8%. What is becoming clear is that the one-student class size increase promised by the school board and the district leadership is a loose averaging of class size across levels and schools and perhaps clusters. There will be plenty of individual classes with many more students than in 2024. One middle school French teacher reported that she already has 33 students, three more than what she's supposed to have. At another middle school, this one in Mid-County, a teacher reported that administrators said to them that there would be no class size caps any longer. Class sizes are guidelines only. The plan affects classroom teachers alone, not counselors or other staff. Unclear if teachers, aides, and paraeducators are included in the cuts. Worth noting that paraeducators are unionized under SEIU Local 500 and separately from the teachers' union, the Montgomery County Education Association, known as MCEA. SEIU supported the incumbent board members running for re-election in the recent primary, while MCEA supported challengers across the board. MCPS is not the only school system put in this position. In Washington, D.C., Mayor Bowser's proposed budget was seen as causing about 200 staff to be cut. The D.C. Council has restored much of the cuts, focusing on Title I schools, added teachers in Ward 7 and 8 elementary schools, and moved money from Jackson Reed High School, which used to be Wilson High School, and Stoddard Elementary School, to other Ward 3 schools. In Howard County, activists are also protesting cuts. A thin ray of hope. The governor of Maryland signed Baltimore Senator Cory McCrae's bill to establish a $2 million grant to bring back driver's education to Maryland public schools after 30 years.
I found myself in January at Achievement Academy, which is in my district. For folks that's in Baltimore, it's in the old Northern High School building. The question that I put forward to them was, if you were senator for a day, what is some of the things that you would change within your school? And there were a couple things that came up. One of them was childcare. The other one that they said, Sunil, was they would like driver's education in their school. I looked up and researched the driving schools for my daughter to take. A number of them could be found at the private schools that are flourished throughout the city of Baltimore. And I was like, so you have driver's education classes that partner with that respective private school at Gilman, at Bryn Mawr, at these other schools, but these aren't the same luxuries that our public schools. Sunil, it was last minute, but we were able to get a $2 million appropriation in perpetuity that'll be processed through the Maryland State Department of Education to be able to award to schools that have a concentration of poverty level of at least 40%.
Any school that has 40% or more free and reduced meals rate, they can apply for it. Is there a limit to how much one school can get?
So, Sunil, what happens is the $2 million will be appropriated to the Maryland State Department of Education. They'll have to put forward regulations. So that'll be entail with the regulations that they're going to put forward. The legislature will have to sign off for, and then it'll be incorporated in the next budget that the governor releases next year.
How are you going to fund the grant? What is your plan?
So the grant is funded through the penalties that people pay when they do not have insurance.
And you believe there's enough money in that fund, the insurance fines, that it'll take care of all of this?
I not only believe it, but some of the money that's extra will be going to the general fund of the state of Maryland's budget.
Cory McCrae, Senator in the Maryland General Assembly, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity, and I love the name. I hate politics.
In Upper Rock Creek Park, by Military Road, there is an old golf course that has become the subject of a pitched political battle. Backstory. In 2020, the National Park Service, which owns and manages the Rock Creek National Park, signed an agreement with National Lynx Trust, a local golfing nonprofit, to manage three golf courses on its lands, one of them being the Rock Creek Golf Course, which is now almost 100 years old and in need of renovation. National Lynx Trust, which now runs the course, came up with a plan to modernize and expand the facility, including adding a new driving range and more lights. The plan is expected to lead to the cutting down of 1,200, possibly more, trees. The National Park Service did an environmental assessment, which was released in fall 2023, and then in April this year, released a finding of no significant impact, FONSI, as it is called, which now allows the project to move forward. Environmental groups such as the Sierra Club of D.C., Rock Creek Park Conservancy, opposed the plan. I talked with Vanessa Bertelli and Samantha Krause of the group Rock Creek Golf Course for All, a coalition that brings together the opposition to the National Lynx Trust and National Park Service renovation plan. This is Sam Krause.
The idea of that is cutting down the trees will then allow them to have a better golf course, better turf. The kind of grass that grows on golf courses needs sun, and it's a non-native invasive plant, so it's not really supposed to be in the park. And they say that many of the trees are dying and are dead, but actually in the numbers, there's actually only 3 dead trees, and only 2 of those 3 will be cut.
Now, Vanessa Bertelli.
According to the FONSI, which is short for Finding of No Significant Impact, there will be 591 trees removed because they're either unsafe, in poor condition, or dead, or are invasive. Out of those 591 trees, at least 178 are invasives. And we're perfectly happy for them to go to town on those. We have over 481 trees that are perfectly fine, that are being removed for grading. That means to create an additional par 3 9-hole course, to broaden existing fairways, to create an artificial pond for irrigation, to relocate a maintenance building to a densely forested area, like a bunch of things that have nothing to do with the health of the trees or with whether they're dangerous or not. In addition to those 481 trees that are perfectly okay trees, we're removing another 292 trees because there needs to be more sunlight and air circulation to grow turf. It's still an insane amount of trees that are getting cut down to renovate a golf course that is, yes, needs maintenance, yes, needs some work, but it doesn't need the complete overhaul that this plan entails. We're talking about 32 acres of grading. It means that 32 acres of the property will change face. And I don't remember if it's like 5 acres that will get significant cut and fill. Like, it's a massive operation that will take approximately 2 years for a golf course that the golfers we speak to are perfectly happy to play as it is and actually value the fact that it is so full of trees. So something is not right, and we cannot figure out what it is.
They also say that they're removing 8 acres of canopy, and that works out to 0.5% of Rock Creek Park's total canopy.
That is such a ridiculous comparison. It's like saying it's just Rock Creek Park is a big park. The percentage that we would like to offer you, Sunil, is that 1,364 trees is over a third of the trees on the golf course.
Rock Creek Park is the least healthy, or has the least healthy stocking index of any forest in the National Capital Region, which means the forests aren't regenerating. And so to just say, oh, it's only the small fraction of the park, well, small fractions add up. And to cut down these perfectly healthy trees, some like American elms, which populations have declined drastically, is ridiculous. And the National Park Service down on the mall has done extensive programs to save the American elms, but they're okay to cut them in another area. It doesn't add up.
As you know more, please come back. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will be covering this issue more. I have invited National Links Trust to join the show, so watch this space. Changes at the Washington Post. Sally Busby, the executive director at the paper since 2021, is leaving and will be replaced by Matt Murray, formerly of the Wall Street Journal, who will continue until the 2024 elections. And after that, he will be replaced by Robert Winnett, who worked in the right-leaning British paper The Telegraph. There is concern that the new leadership signals a rightward shift in the paper's coverage. For each of the last 5 years, the city of Rockville has given the Dawson's Market $400,000 to keep its Rockville Town Center grocery store open. No more. The grant ends, and Dawson's will exit amid several other closures in Rockville Town Center. Last Valentine's Day, we did an episode on the concept of buy nothing. This last weekend, Tammy Kramer of Aspen Hill organized her third annual spring buy nothing yard sale.
It's just like a regular yard sale. You set up in your yard. Everything is for free. And people just come by. We had about 60 houses. We had more than 60 houses this time. And people just go around and pick up what they want. No limit. There's no restrictions.
How would you go about organizing something like this?
So on the Buy Nothing site, I post many, many postings about it. First one, I will say what the dates are and the time. Then I ask people to respond by sending me a private message, their name, street address, and which days they want to participate. And then I make a list.
Is this the first time you did it, or have you done it in the past?
No, I've done this a couple of times before.
Why do you do it?
I really enjoy seeing everyone. It's great being a part of the community, and everyone just really enjoys it.
Do you have a sense of what they are putting out? What kind of stuff?
Clothes, toys, kitchen items, so much, just about everything. Anything in your house could be out on that lawn.
But big pieces of furniture too, right?
Big dining pieces tables of furniture, and absolutely. Cabinets from people's kitchens. You could find a toilet, a sink, so many different things. Yeah, it's fabulous.
Tell me why this recycle economy is important.
Especially in this day and time with the prices of everything and being able to share with your neighbors, it really benefits everybody.
Thanks for organizing.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode. Be sure to check out our feature interview that comes out on Friday. I Hate Politics is produced by me, Sunil Dasgupta, and assistant producer Adama Gay, with support from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I direct UMBC's political science program at the universities at Shady Grove in Montgomery County, where, among other things, we explore and learn about politics, government, and society close to home. Music for this episode comes from Rockville singer-songwriter Andrew Glore and his band Drew Pictures. If you want to share your music on the show or know someone else who might want to, please email us at producer@ihbpod.org. See you next time. I'll still be standing tall. My back against the wall. At Minneapolis.